Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for coming. It's the last day of Tech Eds, the very last session. I see a few tired faces, maybe a few hungover faces, but I'm still super excited. It's actually my second time in Europe, and the last time I came here, I had a ton of fun. Here's a few pictures from my last time here. This was like 3 years ago and maybe 20 pounds ago. So I visited Paris, had some fondue in Switzerland, went to Venice, enjoyed the beer at the Hofbräuhaus, and also went to the Trevi Fountain. And my friend didn't actually pee into the water. But fortunately, I'm not here to talk about Europe or how much I love it. I'm here to talk about Azure Mobile Services and Visual Studio. Now imagine you're building an application for engineers working in the field. You have a certain set of rich requirements. First and foremost, you need to enable your engineers to be able to see a list of appointments. Once they see that list of appointments, you want to be able to enable them to store data related to that appointment. For example, customer information, like their name, their email, what sort of problem they're having. You also want to enable them to take pictures and store them somewhere, like in blob storage. You also want to make sure that only people from your company can access this application. So you want to make sure that someone, let's say from a rival company, or just if your device gets stolen, you want to make sure that an unauthorized user is not able to access data in that application. You also want to be able to notify your engineers if their appointment gets canceled. For example, let's say they go out somewhere, they're working, their next appointment for some reason gets delayed. You want to send them a real quick push notification letting them know that that appointment has changed. And all of this has to work for multi-platforms. Because let's face it, not everyone has a Windows phone or a Windows Store tablet, as much as Microsoft would like that to be the case. A lot of people have iPhones, a lot of people have Androids. So you have a really rich set of requirements. Authentication, data storage, blob storage, push notifications, and everything in a cross-platform world. So you're probably thinking, okay, there's a lot of services I'm going to have to use, there's a lot of tools, different frameworks, yada, 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 it's going to be super tough. Well, no. My name is Marwan Hade. I'm a program manager on the Azure Tools team in Visual Studio, and I'm here to tell you that using Microsoft Azure Mobile Services and the IDE that we all love, Visual Studio, you can build a backend very easily that meets all those needs, that's sufficient for all those requirements. So for how many of you is this a true statement? I am familiar with mobile services. Please raise your hand. Okay, a fair few. So we'll start off with an overview of mobile services. We'll talk about some of the core concepts and what's new in Azure Mobile Services. And then we'll spend the majority of our time today building an application that focuses on the core features of mobile services. So at a very high level, there's three key features in Azure Mobile Services: data storage, authentication, and push notifications. For data storage, right out of the box, we support SQL Azure. You can also substitute that for table storage, blob storage, or MongoDB. And then recently at TechEd US, we announced support for hybrid connections. So you can bring in your own on-premise database and use it for Azure Mobile Services. For authentication, we support all the standard social providers like Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft Account, Google. And we also now support Active Directory, so you can build applications around corporate credentials. For push notifications, we support notification hubs right out of the box. So you can send notifications to Windows devices, to Android devices, to Apple devices, to Kindle Fire devices, even to devices in China that use the Baidu push system. Now, all of these features are wrapped in a REST API, and you can consume this REST API using client libraries, native client libraries for Windows Phone, iOS, Android. We also support cross-platform frameworks like Xamarin. So if you want to build one front end for, you know, all your devices, you can do that using Xamarin, PhoneGap, or Sentia. We've also got offline sync support, which we announced a few months ago. Now, we have two server runtimes for mobile services, Node.js and Web API. So we released Node.js a couple of years ago. People liked it. But there's a lot of feedback that we got. Well, people saying, hey, we want .NET. We're used to using .NET. So a few months ago, in May of this year, we announced ASP.NET-based Azure Mobile Services. So before we get into what it means to be an ASP.NET mobile service, I just want to share with you the key driving principle we had when we designed .NET mobile services. And I don't normally read from slides, but I'm going to read this one. So we wanted to enable enterprise .NET developers, and the key word there being enterprise.NET, because we had a lot of feedback from customers saying, hey, the Node.js tooling you have is great, we love it, but it's just not for me. I can't build serious applications. I'm used to using .NET. This is a new thing that I don't necessarily want to learn. So we wanted to make sure that if you're building applications for enterprise, you had a language that you were familiar with. So we wanted to enable enterprise.NET developers to easily add a backend to their apps and use their preferred frameworks, tools, and processes. And we'll see in a second with .NET Mobile Services is just like any other ASP.NET project. So you can set breakpoints if you want. You can use NuGet packages if you want. You have standard source control. It's all very familiar, and it should really feel like any other web project that's out there. So, .NET Mobile Services. So it's really just web API, but customized for mobile. And you just have to write a minimal amount of code for data, auth, and push notifications. For data, again, we support Azure databases right out the box. We have support for table storage and MongoDB as well. For auth, we support all the standard auth providers. And for push, we have built-in support for notification hubs, so that you can send really high-scale, cross-platform, low-latency notifications. But what sets .NET Mobile Services apart from JavaScript is the rich tooling in Visual Studio. So first and foremost, we've got a great client NuGet package that you can apply to your client projects. We've got our runtime available on a NuGet, so you can take it and apply it to a web API if you want. And then we've got some great tooling support as well. So first and foremost, we've got scaffolding. All you need is a data object, and we'll generate the CRUD APIs for you, so you don't have to worry about writing any of the read, update, delete, et cetera scripts. All of that will be generated for you by the tooling. We've got full IntelliSense support as well. So that was another piece of feedback that we had when we came out with our Node.js support. Hey, I'm used to having IntelliSense. This is basic. This is like 1990s. Why don't I have IntelliSense? Well, with .NET Mobile Services, because it's in Visual Studio, you get full IntelliSense. We have full local F5 as well. So when we came out with JavaScript support, a lot of people said, you know, give me F5 or give me death. I'm like, we don't want people to die, so yeah, we made sure we had F5 support. We've also got an in-browser test client or a test harness. The idea being, not only can we enumerate the APIs that are in your project, but we can also allow you to try them out. So you can set the different parameters, and you can actually try out your APIs. In addition, we've also got remote debugging. So you can set breakpoints, you can hit breakpoints on your mobile service that's living out in the cloud on a data center somewhere. And in case if you're wondering if our neighbors in the online retail business across Lake Washington, if you're wondering if they can do this, they can't. We've also got the ability to publish via web deploy. Because it's a standard ASP.NET application, you can use the tooling for publishing and straight away take your application once it's ready and deploy it to a mobile service. Again, because it's an ASP.NET project, you've got standard source control as well. So you can use TFS, you can use Perforce, whatever it is, whatever works for your other projects will work instantly for your .NET mobile service. Now, in addition, we've also got something called runtime logs. The idea being, once you have a backend, if you want to monitor how users are using the backend, what sort of APIs they're calling, you can set log statements, and in Visual Studio, you can go and then view your runtime logs. And then lastly, we've got tooling for notification hubs. We let you send test messages, and we also let you view device registrations. So that's a long list, and in this demo today, I'll be showing you all of those cool features in Visual Studio. Now, to illustrate the power of .NET Mobile Services and the tooling in Visual Studio, we're going to build out a demo application, something called Candidate Tracker. Now, the idea is You go to a school for recruiting. I'm a recruiter. I go back to the University of Texas at Austin, where I went to school. And we look for talented candidates, and we sort them according to which discipline they'd be most suitable for. So our needs are simple. We need an application that allows us to store candidate information, their name, their email, what discipline they're suitable for. We also want to make sure that we can upload their resumes. So take those resume files, upload it to Blob Storage. We want to make sure that only people from our team, from our company, can log into this app. So someone from Google, the Google recruiting team, finds our tablets. We don't want them to steal our candidates. Kind of obvious. We also want to make sure that when candidates are found, we're notifying the right members of the team. So for example, if a PM candidate is found by one of my colleagues, I want a notification saying, hey, we found a PM candidate. You should go talk to him. So let's go and build out our application. Okay. So let me F5 our client project and show you what it looks like. So it's a very simple application. Here you would see a list of candidates. You can then go in and add a new candidate, specify a name, email, choose a discipline, and upload a resume. And then you can also go in and sign up for notifications for PM, dev, and test notifications. So let's now switch over and build a backend that can provide data and store data using this application. So I'm going to open up a new instance of Visual Studio, and I'll spin up a new mobile service project. Just give it a nice, friendly name. So while that's spinning up, a mobile service project is really just a customized web API project. So it's all that Web API provides you, except we've taken out views, because it's meant just for your APIs. And in addition, in your mobile service project, we preload it with some sample files so that you can understand what the data objects look like and what the CRUD APIs look like. So once that's spun up, I'll give you a quick insight into those files that we add in. So let's first look at our todoItem.cs class. Very simple class, has two fields in it, text and complete. This basically goes hand in hand with the samples that we put up on Azure.com so that you can try out an end-to-end application. Based on this object, you can also generate a controller. So we've spun up this controller. It has your read, write, your CRUD APIs. So here I have the ability to get a specific item, get all my items, update an item, post a new one, or delete one. And I've also got something called a scheduled job, a sample scheduled job. Now, scheduled jobs are interesting. So imagine you have an application where you track how much your friends owe you. And let's say they don't pay after a week. You can use a scheduled job to send them a periodic reminder. It's almost like a nag. So every week, dude, you owe me. Dude, you owe me. And keep on sending them a notification. So you can use scheduled jobs provided by mobile services to send or run periodic jobs. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over to the data objects folder. And we're going to add in an existing object. So here, add an existing item. It's a very simple class. It just has information related to candidates, name, email, discipline, resume link, who uploaded it, a SAS URI and a container URI. So I'll explain some of these a little later in the talk. So let me generate a controller based on this data object. Now you can choose from either Web API controllers or mobile service controllers. I'll go with a mobile services table controller. What's the model? It's candidate. Choose a data context. Click add. And just like that, just using that data object, the scaffolding code has generated a controller for me, which has the APIs for being able to read, write, and delete candidates. So you look here, I have this getAllCandidates method, get a single candidate, patch a candidate, post a candidate, or delete it. So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to set a breakpoint here. We're going to F5 our project. You'll notice the nice little reassuring winky face. Our animator spent a ton of time in that, so we really hope you appreciate it. But you can click on the try it out link. And not only do we enumerate all the APIs that are in your projects, you'll notice we have the scheduled job class, we have to-do item, all the APIs for that, and also for candidate. So not only do we enumerate all those APIs, but we also give you a chance to try them out. Let's go to our post method. And you'll notice here that it also tells you what your request body format looks like. So we'll hit the try this out link. And we'll enter in a new candidate. So we'll enter in a candidate named Scott Guthrie. Scott Gu went to Brown. So let's imagine like we're 20 years back in time and we're recruiting the great Scott Guthrie. Scott is a PM. And for an ID, I'll just specify something like 1234. Now the first thing that happens is the breakpoint that I'd set earlier in Visual Studio is immediately hit. So you notice how, unlike JavaScript, you can try out your APIs, make sure that they're working, debug them before you actually publish them out to the cloud. So I get a nice little confirmation that my candidate was successfully created. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch over to my client and wire it to my mobile service that's running in my local host. So let me just copy the URL here. Switch over to Visual Studio. And I'll go over to my app.xaml.cs file. And here, I have an object. It's a mobile service client object. And it has a URL. So basically, this is a proxy object for interacting with mobile services. So using this object, you can get a reference to a table. And you can also invoke custom APIs. I'm just going to replace the connection string here with the one of our project. OK. The next thing I want to show you is how do we implement the functionality to get candidates, to retrieve candidates from this mobile service and show it in our application. Okay, so as soon as my app starts, I'm going to try to get candidates. The get candidates method is very simple. First and foremost, I'm getting a reference to a candidate table. And so I'm using that candidate tracker client proxy object and getting a reference to a table. So how do we know that it's getting a reference to the right table? Well, on the client, we have a strongly typed object called candidate. When we make that request, the mobile service says, OK, I'm going to look at all the tables which have a schema which correlates to candidate. And accordingly, I'm going to give a reference back to that table. Once you have that reference, you're simply going to say candidate table to list async. And it's going to retrieve a list of objects and put it into a list, which I'm then going to bind to a grid that I have in my UI. So that's F5. and I notice that the candidate that I added earlier shows up in my UI. The next thing I want to do is I want to add the ability to store new candidates in my database. So here, I'll simply go over to the new candidate XAML.cs file, go into a method called insertCandidate. What I'm doing here is, again, I'm getting a reference to that candidate table that's out on the mobile service. We'll spin up a new instance of candidate, and we'll just simply set the fields to whatever the user has entered. So for example, candidate.name is nameTextBox.text. And then we'll make this call called awaitCandidateTable.insertAsync. So what we're doing is we're taking that object that's just been instantiated and filled up with the user's input and insert it into that table to which we'd gotten a reference earlier. So let's try to insert a new candidate. Try to enter in a candidate named Bill Gates. Some of you might have heard of him. Bill went to Harvard. Dev. I noticed that the breakpoint that I'd set earlier in my server is hit. Just remove that breakpoint, hit F5. And I noticed that I was able to successfully add another candidate called Bill Gates, but this time from my client project. Now I want to show you a couple of cool things that you can do in Visual Studio to debug your data. So first and foremost, because we're using SQL and on the client we're using LocalDB, you can use the SQL Object Explorer to view the candidates that you've just entered into your mobile service database. So here, in Server Explorer, I'll go over to the Data Connections node. I'll go over to Tables. And I notice that all the tables that have been spun up by that mobile service show up here. And I can simply right-click and go to Show Table Data. And I'll notice that this list matches the candidates that are showing up both in my UI and if I were to use a test harness and execute a get all candidates, I'd get that same set of data. So now that my app is ready, I'm pretty confident with my server backend, I can go in and publish it. So let me switch over to the server project. For publishing, all you have to do is select your project, right-click, and go to Publish. So I'll zoom in for just a second here. Publish. And it's using the same publish mechanism as other ASP.NET projects. Once you go into the Publish dialog, you don't have to worry about getting any sort of publish settings XML files from anywhere in the portal or anything like that. All you need to do to publish is simply tell Visual Studio which mobile service you're targeting. So in this case, I'm going to choose the mobile services node. Now, it's going to pull down a list of mobile services that I have under my subscription under this account. But I can also create a new mobile service if I want. All I need to do is specify the name of the mobile service, which region, and also which database I want to use for that mobile service. So I'm going to choose an existing mobile service here, candidate trackers. I hit OK. It's downloading the publish settings files for me, and then all I need to do is hit next and then publish. So switching back to our client, what we're going to do is now we're going to add a connection to a live mobile service. And again, you don't have to go to the portal and get your connection strings. We have tooling in Visual Studio that allows you to discover all the mobile services that you have under your subscription and directly point to it. So I'm back in my client project. I'm just going to right-click and go to Add Connected Service. Now, the idea behind the Connected Service dialog is it's meant to allow you to view all the services that you have in the cloud, select a specific one, and Visual Studio will add everything that you need to connect to that service to your project. So we'll add a reference. In the case of mobile services, we'll add a reference to a mobile service. We'll add in some code into your project that uses that mobile service, adds in the secrets for it, and we'll also give you the NuGet packages that you need for consuming that mobile service. So currently in the dialog, we support for mobile services, Office 365, and ads. In the very near future, we'll be adding some more services. like Salesforce, like Azure Storage, Azure Mobile Services, Office 365, and also Active Directory Single Sign-On. So stay tuned for that. So in this case, I'm going to choose Mobile Services. I'm going to hit OK. Now, Visual Studio is going to do two things. First, if I go under References, it's going to list out all the references that I need for consuming mobile services. And then if I go over to my app.xaml.cs, I'll notice that the tool has added this code in here. It's a candidate tracker client object, and it comes preloaded with two things, a URL to the mobile service and the application key. So what I'll do is I'll move this code under define. And then we'll F5. So what we've done now is instead of pointing to that local mobile service that we had, we're now pointing to a live mobile service. If we give it a few seconds, we should see a list of candidates from the live mobile service. OK, so I see a list of candidates. These were candidates that I had preloaded, like Zark Zuckerberg, very social guy. Marissa Dayer, Milan Husk, Steve Jobs, Scott Guthrie, and Bill Gates. The next thing I want to show you is runtime logging. Now, the idea behind runtime logging is I have a mobile service, but I want to be able to track what code paths are people executing. So for example, in this case, I could track how many candidates were successfully added. How many failures were there? What sort of exceptions did I get? What sort of warnings or what sort of errors did mobile services give as a result of executing my code? Now, to add logging statements, it's extremely simple. So let's go over to our candidate controller. And we'll just go with services.log.info. And you can type in a message like successfully added candidate. Now, if you want to view your runtime logs, you can do that in Visual Studio as well. So simply go over to the Server Explorer. So how many of you are familiar with the Server Explorer? Raise of hands. All right, great, awesome, quite a few. How many of you know about the Azure node in the Server Explorer? Okay, still quite a few, but a fewer hands. So the idea behind the Azure node in Server Explorer is it's designed to enable you, the developer, to interact with different Azure services. So for example, for mobile services, we'll see in a second, you can use it to view logs or attach a remote debugger. For notification hubs, you can do things like test send and view device registrations. For storage, you can view the contents of your storage containers, your tables, and your queues. So the idea is, as you're building your application or as you're debugging your live application, you can use the tooling in Visual Studio, in the Server Explorer, to make sure that your app is functioning as you'd expect. So I'm going to choose that mobile service that I have, Candidate Trackers. I'm going to right-click and go to View Logs. And it's going to pull down a set of runtime logs from my mobile service and show it in Visual Studio. So here, I've added a bunch of statements for successfully added a candidate, and also ran the first time and told me, hey, I've successfully loaded your mobile service. So I can use the same view for also viewing any errors or any warnings that are thrown by mobile services. So switching back to slides, what we've successfully done is we're storing and accessing data with SQL. The next thing I want to do is set up authentication, so that only authorized users can access the data in my application. So we're going to do that using Active Directory. Now, when we brought in Active Directory and used it with mobile services, our mission was to extend line of business scenarios to mobile developers. We wanted to give you a default turnkey login experience so that you could use your corporate credentials instead of social credentials and log into the application. We also wanted to enable applications built around organizational structures. So what does that mean? For example, imagine that you have a large web service, and let's say the web service goes down. You want to be able to notify a developer that the service is down. The developer doesn't respond within, let's say, 15 minutes. You want to be able to notify his lead, and if he doesn't respond, his manager, and so forth and so on. So you want to build an application that's built around notifications and also uses the corporate hierarchy. Doing so without Active Directory is a lot tougher. So we wanted to make it easier to build applications that were centered around an organization and the employees in it. So how do we do this? We use something called the Active Directory Authentication Library, or ADA. Our friends in the Active Directory team have been working on this for the past couple of years and done a truly wonderful job. It's intended to enable login to AAD-protected resources. And it also provides single sign-on to multiple AAD-protected resources. So what does that mean? So for example, let's say you log in from your device to a middle tier like your mobile service. Once you've logged in and you've given your token, your access token, to the mobile service, we can use that same token and pass it to other resources like SharePoint. The other great thing about ADAL is that it's cross-platform. So we have support on Windows Store, iOS, Android, and I believe yesterday Vittorio also announced support for Xamarin. So how does AAD in mobile services work? So first and foremost, the user logs in to AAD and requests a token. Now, AAD is configured in such a manner that essentially you have a resource that AAD is protecting, and only certain clients have access to that resource. So when the device requests a token, AAD is going to check, okay, this application, yep, it's configured to have access to this resource, so I'm going to grant it a token. Once that token is granted back to the device then uses that token to log in to the mobile service, and if needed, the mobile service can pass that token on behalf of the client onto other applications. So let's set that up in our application. So let me first show you the client code. So I'm going to go over to my main page XAML. So what am I doing here? First and foremost, I'm checking if this value called app.user is null. If it is, I'm going to wait for authentication to be successful. Now what I'm doing here, and I'm going to hide my client ID. So what I'm doing here is, first and foremost, I'm getting some connection strings. So I'm speaking to an AAD authority, and I'm going to say, hey, AAD authority, here's the resource I'm trying to access, and here is my client ID. So while app.user is null, I'll first and foremost set up a connection to my authority. So that's where I'm doing the authentication context. And I'm then going to request a token. I'm going to say, OK, AAD authority, here's the resource that I'm trying to access. I think I have permissions. Validate that I do. Validate that I am truly an authenticated user of this organization, and give me a token back. So AAD will then process this token, and if successful, return a token back to the device. Once the device has that token, it's then going to access a mobile service and then try to get access to the data that's protected by that mobile service. So let's F5 and see what we get. Okay. So you'll notice that you get a nice little login prompt. It's nothing that I had to set up. I got it for free as a result of ADAL, and I just have to go in and enter my credentials. And notice how quickly I typed that in. And in just a second, OK, I'm logged in. And only when I'm logged in can I access this list of candidates. So notice how we've protected our resources, waited for a token back from AD, and only once we receive that token did we try to access the mobile service data. So on the server, let's see what the code looks like on the server. So here, this is possibly the hardest piece of code they're going to have to write for doing authentication. No, I'm just kidding. So it's really one line of code. And you can add it to either the controller class, so you can protect all the APIs that you have, or you can choose to protect individual APIs. So why would you want to necessarily do that? You might have a scenario where if you're trying to get all candidates, you could restrict that. Or rather, if you want to get all candidates, you can keep that open. But if you want to save data or add a new candidate, you can choose to restrict just that single API. Now, mobile services gives you different permissions for restricting your APIs. You can lock it down with an admin in admin mode, so you have to have a master key to access data. You can keep it anonymous so that anyone can access your data. So for example, let's say you're setting up a weather service and people want to pull down data from that weather service. You'll set it anonymous. You can choose to lock it down with just the application key. So that's what we've done by default. And you can also choose to lock it down by users. So you have to be authenticated as a user to be able to access this data. So go here. And that's really all I need to do to set up authentication in my client project as well as on the server. The next thing I want to show you is how do I use mobile services and how do I upload resume files from my client application to the cloud. So we're going to use something called Azure Storage. Why Azure Storage? So first and foremost, storage is extremely cost effective. It's dirt cheap to use Azure Storage. It's extremely scalable, and it's accessible from anywhere. Now, when we say anywhere, geographically, certainly. You can access it from anywhere, and we have geo-replication. So no matter where you are in the world, you can access something that's stored in blob storage. But also, you can access these files, and we've got client libraries for all sorts of different clients. So you could have a desktop app, for example. You could have a website. You could have a client application. No matter what you're using, we have support for Azure Storage. Azure Storage is fantastic, but one thing you should never, ever do is burn secrets into your client application. It's especially bad with Azure Storage. And that's because if you give your storage account key, and that's really the case with any kind of storage, but if you burn your account key into your client application, a malicious user could very easily go in, use that account key, and upload all sorts of bad data. So you can imagine all sorts of images, for example, showing up, or all sorts of corrupted files, or even a virus. So in comes into the rescue something called shared access signatures. The idea behind shared access signatures is that you're allowing clients limited access to your data without using a storage account key. So you're basically requesting a restricted token. It's for a very short amount of time, and it has a specific set of requirements. So we'll see how that works in just a second. So step one is your client or your application will authenticate against the mobile service. It could be any middle tier. You could also use a website. You could also use a cloud service. So it's going to authenticate against the middle tier, and it's going to request a SaaS token. Your middle tier, your mobile service, is then going to speak to your storage account, and your mobile service or your middle tier has the account key. It has full permissions, and it's much harder to hack. Your middle tier is going to request a token with a limited policy. It's going to say, okay, I want write access, and I want it for only a period of 10 minutes. The storage account is going to say, okay, you have the storage account key. You're valid. I'm going to give you back a token. The middle tier is then going to pass that token back to the client. The client now has permissions to access Azure Storage, but it's only with a SaaS token. So it's only with certain set of permissions and only for a limited amount of time. let's take a look at that. So the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to switch over to the server project. And I'm going to add a reference to the Azure Storage NuGet package. So remember how we talked about how mobile services is just like any other ASP.NET project? Well, just like any other ASP.NET project, you can add NuGet packages. So here we'll go to Manage NuGet. Go to Azure Storage. Now, I can choose from a variety of options here. I could go with the Azure Mobile Services .NET backend Azure Storage extension, or I can just go with the standard one. I'll go with the standard one. Okay. Then I'm going to go over to my candidate controller, and in my post method, I'm going to add in code for being able to retrieve that SAS token. Let me add in some using statements. So what am I doing here? First and foremost, I'm setting up a connection to a storage account using my storage connection string. Now, because this is the middle tier, a storage connection string is totally fair game. I'm then going to get a reference to a particular blob and then a particular container within blobs. So there I do the blob client. Once I have the blob client, I'm going to get a reference to a container called files. If the container doesn't exist, I'm going to spin it up. Next, I'm setting a policy. And this is probably the most important part of this snippet. I want to create a shared access policy, which is valid only for a period of 10 minutes. You'll notice that I have -5 and +5. That's just to account for clock skews. So -5 and +5, just for 10 minutes. And I want write permissions. So give me a SAS token that allows me, or that gives me temporary access to Azure Storage to upload something. Once I have that token back, the item that I get back, the candidate object, I'm just going to set various fields in it so that my client application can use those credentials and upload a file to blob storage. So here you'll notice item.sas URI, SAS container token. Item container URI is based on the container URI, it's a container of files. And then I'm just going to set up a resume link based on what the user has uploaded. So let me save this. The next thing I need to do is I need to go to webconfig, and I need to add a connection to my storage account. So here, let me add a new key. I love doing that. I'm going to add in a value. Now, I don't have to go to the portal to get my value. I can use the tooling in Server Explorer, choose a storage account from my Storage Explorer, and then instantly copy a connection string and paste it into my webconfig. So let me expand Server Explorer, expand the storage node. I already have a storage account called Candidate Files. Just right-click, go to Properties, get the connection string. Let me copy it and paste it in. And that's really all I need to do on my mobile service. So let me F5 and put this up. Great. While that's getting spun up, I'm going to switch over to the client. And I'll show you what the code looks like for consuming that SAS token and uploading files to Azure Storage. So I'll go over to my new candidate XAML.cs file. Here, in the insert candidate, I'm going to expand that mysterious snippet of code. OK, so what am I doing here? First and foremost, I inserted a candidate into my mobile service. So I did the await candidate table.insert async. The mobile service returned back a SAS token for me to use to upload a file to Azure Storage. So here, I build my storage credentials based on the candidate.sas URI. So that's the token that I'm getting back from the mobile service. I'm then spinning up a doc URI, and I'm getting a container reference. And then here is where I'm spinning up my blob SAS credentials, my blob SAS credentials. And then I'm doing an upload using those credentials. So notice here, I didn't have access to my connection string. I didn't need it. All I needed was a SAS container token from the mobile service, and using that SAS credentials, I was able to get a reference to the container and also upload my files. So let's switch over to debug. And that's F5. One thing I'll also do is I'll comment out my authenticate code. Okay, so we're going to go in and add a new candidate. George Michael Bluth. Anyone watch Arrested Development? No? Yes, three people. All right, great, awesome. All right. So George Michael Bluth is a PM. And we'll upload a resume. In case you're wondering why I have so many movie reviews, it's because in my spare time, I like to blog about movies. And SkyDrive wouldn't let me hide them, so hence the spam. So you'll notice that a new candidate was added called George Michael Bluth, but in addition to the email and the discipline, we've also got a resume. And that resume was set by my mobile service as it accessed Azure Storage and got a URL back. The next thing I want to show you is you can actually interact with your storage container using the tools in Visual Studio, using Server Explorer. Expand Server Explorer. So here, under the storage node, you can expand that, expand blobs. Go to Files. And you can see the resume that we just uploaded. Now, in addition to being able to view what's in your container, you can also preview files. So here, let me just download this. And it instantly opens it up in Word because it realizes that it's a Word document. And you'll see some information for George Michael Bluth. Now, in addition to being able to download information and download files, you can also upload files, and you can also delete things. So here, I can go in and delete this candidate, or delete this file. Great. In addition to being able to interact with blob containers, you can also do the same thing with queues and tables. So you can, you can enqueue messages, you can dequeue messages, and you can also view your tables. So you can write queries, you can view your Azure tables, and you can upload new entities into your Azure table. So switching back to PowerPoint, the next thing I want to do is I want to add push notifications to my application. Why? Like I said earlier, if I find a PM candidate, I want to be able to notify other PMs on the team, letting them know that we found a PM candidate and that we should go and talk to him. So to do push notifications, we're going to use notification hubs. Why notification hubs? Well, first and foremost, it can work with any backend technology. So you can use mobile services, you can use Azure websites, you can use an ISVM, you can also use cloud services. Your backend can also be hosted locally. So if you're running it locally on an IIS server, great, no issues. We've got client libraries for notification hubs in .NET, Node.js, Java, PHP, anything that you can imagine. Notification hubs are cross-platform. What that means is you can send notifications to Windows devices, Windows phone devices, iOS, Android, Kindle Fire, anything that uses the Google Cloud messaging, anything that uses Baidu as well in China. The notification hubs are extremely scalable with very low latency. And in just a second, we'll look at a couple of case studies to impress upon you the sheer scale and power of notification hubs. The other thing about notification hubs is that it gives you easy segmentation. So imagine that you have an application for breaking news. You don't want to spam everyone with an update on something like tennis. You just want to send it out to people that are subscribed to updates for tennis, or updates for business, or science, or technology. Using tags, you can segment your audience and send them targeted notifications. And lastly, in some ways most importantly, notification hubs are integrated into mobile services. So you don't have to interface against yet another service. You can do that straight away with mobile services. So a couple of case studies. So how many of you are Windows 8? How many of you have Windows 8 on your machine or Windows 8.1? All right, awesome. You're at a Microsoft conference, so I'd expect that. So all of you have experienced the power of notification hubs because the Bing news, finance, and sports apps that all of you have by default on your machine uses notification hubs to send tiled updates. That's tens of millions of devices, and we send over 3 million tiled notifications a day, and each of those notifications is delivered in less than 2 minutes. So we have to have very, very, very low latency. If you're trying to build an application that's built around location, let's say, it's absolutely of no use if someone has left the city and you then send them a notification. So if I get a notification like, hey, Barcelona is awesome, you should check it out 5 days from now, I don't really care. Another case study in notification hubs is the Sochi Winter Olympics. So we had a cross-platform application for Windows Phone, iOS, and Android, and it was used to track Olympic results. We used a SQL backend hosted in Azure, and based on changes in that SQL Azure, we would trigger notifications. So users could subscribe to updates for athletes, for countries, or sports. So you could get an update for ice hockey, for example, or updates for Canada. So there were over 3 million devices using these applications. Over 3 million devices subscribed for notifications. And over the course of 2 weeks, we sent over 150 million notifications. So how do push notifications work? So first and foremost is registration. Your device goes to the push notification service, and this is specific to your device. So if you have iOS devices, they're going to go speak to the Apple push notification service. If you have Google tablets, it's going to speak to the Google Cloud Messaging service. So first step is, hey, Cloud Messaging service, or push notification service, give me a unique identifier. Once you have that unique identifier, the device is then going to speak to the mobile service, and by proxy, the notification hub, and tell it, create a registration for me, here is my unique identity, and here's the thing that I want updates for. So for example, in the case of the Sochi Winter Olympics, here is my unique iOS identifier, and here, ice hockey is a sport that I'm trying to get updates for. Step two is actually sending the notification. So your middle tier, like your mobile service, sends a message to the notification hub using notification hub APIs. The notification hub, in turn, triggers APIs for WNS, APNS, GCM, and ADM, the different push notification services, which in turn deliver a notification out to your individual devices. Let's see how that works in code. So the first thing I want to show you is the client-side code. So here, let me F5 this. So to get updates, I'm going to go in and I'm going to sign up for notifications to either PM, dev, or test categories. So here, let me show you. so I can sign up for PM Dev or Test. Once I've signed up, the first thing it's going to do is it's going to say, hey, candidate tracker push, that's that mobile service proxy object that we generated at the very beginning of the session. We're going to upload a channel with the disciplines that I'm interested in. So let's look at what that looks like. So here, step one is I'm acquiring a unique identifier from the Windows Notification Service because I'm a Windows device, and using that identifier and the tags that I was interested in, PM, Dev, or Test, I'm going to ask the Notification Hub via the mobile service to create a unique registration for me. So let me switch over to the server and show you what the server logic looks like. So here, I'm going to do it right after my storage-related code. And let me implement the send push notification method as well. Okay. So what am I doing here? So first and foremost, I'm creating a new message which is based on what the candidate's suitable discipline is. So a new candidate was added. He's most suitable for the PM discipline. I'm then going to call the send push notification method. So in here, I format a toast message according to Windows specifications. So it's a toast message. Here are the details. I'm then going to call services.push.sendAsync. Here's the message you need to send. And because it's formatted as a WNS toast message, Notification Hub automatically knows whom to send it to. And because we've specified the target, right, I want to send an update. I want to send this message, new candidate was found, to all the PMs, all the people that have subscribed to the PM tags. Notification Hub also knows who to deliver this message to. So let's see that. Now, in order to use Notification Hubs locally in my mobile service, I need to add a connection string to that notification hub. If I deploy it to the cloud, I already have that connection because it's pre-baked in. When you get a new mobile service, you get a free notification hub with it. So here, I'm going to add in the notification hub name. And I'm going to add in a key called MS underscore notification hub string. Now again, I can get the value for this notification hub using Server Explorer. I don't have to leave VS and go to the portal or anything like that. I have everything that I need at my disposal. So here, expand the notification hubs node, go to Candidate Trackers SS Hub, go to Properties. I've got the mobile service connection string. I'll simply copy it and put it into my value here. So F5 of this. Great. It's F5 our client as well. First, subscribe for updates to PM, Dev, and Test. Let's add a new candidate. So in this case, we're going to add Sheldon Cooper. You guys watch Big Bang Theory here in Europe? Yes? Okay. All right. A few more nods. So Sheldon is definitely not a PM or a Dev. Too rigid, too by the rules. Let's go with Test. I love testers, by the way. I'm just kidding. Let's hit save. So I get a notification saying a new test candidate was found. And other users of my application would also get this notification letting them know that we found a new test candidate that's suitable for our company and we should go talk to them. So switching back into Visual Studio, now imagine that as it's common in the industry, you have a set of client developers that are working independently of your server developers. So your client logic and your server logic is developed independently. So you want to be able to test whether you're able to deliver push notifications to your client. So you want to test that your client is able to successfully register, regardless of whether you've written your server logic yet or not. So what you can do is you can send test messages to your clients independent of your server. So here, I'll notice the test send tab. I can choose a message type. Again, I can choose to target Windows devices, iOS, or Android. I can also target all of them and send a custom template message. I'll go with Toast. And I can go in and customize this message. The thing about saying things like, this is cool, is if it doesn't work, it's so uncool. So fingers crossed. Come on. Come on. I feel like there's suspense in the room. Like there's like tension building up. There we go. All right. So in addition to being able to send these test messages, you can also use this as a tool to see what those notifications will look like. So if you want to see, you know, like for example, you notice here that I had a nice little icon. So if you want to try out what those notifications will look like on your devices, you can do that using this tool. In addition, you can also view device registration. So you can view what are all the different clients that are subscribed for notifications. And you can also very quickly try to figure out, okay, so based on this, I have 60 registrations. So 60 people have signed up for notifications. And I can also get a breakdown by platform. So I know that it's, you know, 15 Windows Phone, only 14 Google, and it's 15 Amazon. In addition to being able to view these device registrations, you can also edit the tags that people are subscribed for. So imagine that you have a pretty complicated application, pretty complicated client flow, and you don't want to go through it when you're testing. So you want to send notifications only to people that are PM candidates or dev candidates. You don't want to go through the application. Well, you can edit your tags right from within Visual Studio. So here, let me just sort this. I can find my WNS registration, and I can edit the tag. And I can directly go in and say, OK, I don't want updates for test. I just want updates for PM and dev. Great. And I can also search for dev candidates, PM candidates, et cetera. And I'll notice that the registration count by platform instantly updates, letting me know across my different platforms who is subscribed for a particular tag. I can also go in and delete registrations. So here, I'm going to go in and delete a Google registration. Switching back to slides. So what we've done so far is we've built an end-to-end application that was able to store data on the cloud. You were able to restrict access so that only authenticated users were able to get into your app. We added the ability to store data, store images or store blob files into Azure Storage, and we also added push notifications. Now I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to show you how you can use mobile services to integrate with third-party services like Twilio. So do we have any soccer fans in the house? All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a head-to-head app. Oops. So it's a challenger versus a champion, and I want you to vote for the team that you like the best. So we're going to go with two local teams. Go with Barcelona and Real Madrid. Now, when I hit the start voting button, I want all of you to vote. So can all of you take out your phones, please? And this is a local number, so you don't have to worry about, like, international text charges or anything like that. I did my research. I wanted to make sure it wasn't, you know, it was affordable, very reasonable. So when I hit the start voting button, I want you to vote into that number. If you're voting for Barcelona as your favorite team, one, space, an optional message, or two, space, an optional message if you want to vote for Real Madrid. So, all right, everyone got your phones out? All right, let's start voting. I'm going to send in a vote myself. Let's give it a few seconds. So what's happening in the background? So I have a mobile service that's running up in the cloud. And using that mobile service, I'm connecting to Twilio. Now, Twilio gives me this telephone number that you can then send SMSs to. And it has a nice little REST API, which I can use to parse all the text messages that are sent into that number. Once I have all those messages, well, we only got two votes, and just for FC Barcelona. Well, next time, we want to want more votes. But the idea is that Twilio allows, or mobile service allows you to parse your Twilio messages and then announce a winner and also send the messages back to your client. So let's take a look at the code in Visual Studio. So I'm going to go over and create a new or open an existing project, head-to-head server. The thing to call out here is my mobile service is connecting to Twilio, has an account SID and an auth token, but notice how my client isn't branded with those connection strings for Twilio. I'm authenticating against my mobile service, and on my behalf, the mobile service is in turn connecting to Twilio. So what I'm doing is I'm connecting to Twilio, I'm requesting the last 1,000 messages sent to this number. I'm going to parse through these messages. Do some nice little paging. I'm going to parse through these messages. I'm going to calculate how many messages were sent with one, and I'm going to increase the counter for the challenger. And if it's two, I'm going to increase the counter for the champion and also load in the messages. The next thing that's kind of interesting is how the announced winner code works. So here, I'm deciding whether it was the challenger or the champion that won this round, or whether it was a tie, and then calling the send notification method. Send notification method, you'll notice, is very similar to what we did earlier with our candidate tracker code. So it's very standard. I'm formatting a Windows Toast message, and I'm then sending it out to everyone that subscribed to updates for my application. Now, in this case, I only have one tag, so it doesn't really matter who I'm sending it to. I just need to specify my message. Switching back to PowerPoint. So what we've done today is, using .NET Mobile Services and Visual Studio, you can tell that very easily, and hopefully you found it easy, very easily you can set up a backend that allows you to store data in the cloud, authenticate your users, interact with Azure Storage and other third-party services like Twilio, and finally send push notifications out to your users. Call to action, please check out the mobile services documentation. It's very thorough. We've got a ton of samples. And if you want to try out your own end-to-end sample, you can go into the mobile services accelerators and download a sample. The idea is we have a store application that's out in the Windows Store in the gallery. You can download that. You can make certain changes, deploy it locally, and you can test a complete end-to-end application. Thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure presenting to all of you. Here's my Twitter. Please follow me on Twitter and also email me if you have any feedback regarding mobile services or even this session. And here's some related content. If you want to get more information about mobile services, especially for the enterprise, please check out these sessions. My colleagues, Yavor Georgiev and Omar Khan, Kirill Gavrilov have been spending a ton of time with mobile services. They have a couple of sessions there. If you're interested in more about authentication, you can also watch Vittorio's session from yesterday evening. Here's some resources. Please, please, please fill out your evaluations. So my manager and my director were in the audience, or they were at TechEd, and the deal is if I beat my manager's score, I get to come back to Europe. So please, vote. Or please submit your evaluations. And also, just a little thank you for being such a wonderful audience. I've got some swag, so I've got I Love Visual Studio stickers, a few bottles, and also some notebooks. And I'll just put them up here. And in the meanwhile, also, we can go around the room and ask questions if you guys have any. Thank you. So, do we have any questions? Yes. Yes. That's correct. So the question was, the logs that you saw in Visual Studio, does that apply for Node.js as well? And the answer is absolutely. So those logs are independent of which runtime language you're using. Yes. So if I understood the question correctly, you were asking why we use the middle tier, why you use the mobile service to store to blob storage instead of going directly. Is that correct? Yeah. So the reason being is you'd never want to brand your connection strings into your client. So let's say I had put my storage connection string into my client and had shipped my application out. Someone could very easily strip out my application, get that connection string, and upload all sorts of images there. They could also go in. In fact, we have support in Server Explorer. You can attach to an external storage account using an account key. You can very easily see the contents of your storage account, delete things, or upload things. So essentially, you want to limit how much access people have to your storage account. Yes? That's fair as well. I could have straight away uploaded to the mobile service, gone from the mobile service directly to the storage account. That's absolutely true. The thing, though, is you'd still have to have some sort of middle tier and make sure that you didn't have a connection string out in your project. Yes? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So a few months ago, we released support for offline. What that means is, imagine the scenario that we had earlier where you were trying to, you had a field engineer working out in the field. They can go in, they can make their changes, and those changes, because they don't have an internet connection, for example, they're synced locally, and only when they come online, we're going to resolve those changes against what you have on the server and then help you upload it. And so if you don't, for example, if there's a conflict, we'll take care of sending you a notification and letting you know there's a conflict and you need to go in and resolve it. Yes? Yeah. Great question. So the question was, how do I send notifications to a cross-platform notification without using a Windows template or iOS template, et cetera? So in our tools and also online, in our APIs, we have something called a custom template. So on your client, you can register for this custom template, and you can send out a generic message that gets transmitted to all devices. So for example, in that case, I'm just sending out, a string, and it's going to send out a toast message, format it, and deliver it just to those devices. So if I send it out to iOS, it'll show up as a toast message. If I send it to Windows Phone or Windows Store, it'll again show up as a toast message. So although the templates are somewhat limited, it does allow you with a single API call to reach out to all your devices. Any other? Yes? Push notification registration, which are not long available, maybe you can buy and delete that without Yeah, so the question was, can we unregister clients? So Notification Hubs allows you to parse the registrations that you have. You can check how long those tokens are valid for. Now, generally, like for example, with WNS, the tokens are valid for a lot longer. But using the Notification Hub APIs, you can very easily find what the registration is or when it was created, and based on that, you can go and delete tokens. So if you want to build in some sort of logic where you need the clients to re-authenticate or re-sign up for notifications, you can do that very easily using the Notification Hub's libraries. Any other questions? Awesome. Thanks a lot. You've been a great audience. Thank